extra hot great TV cop special. This is the Extra Hot Great TV Cop Special, which is episode 48 for the week of October 27th, 2014. I am no-nonsense Captain David T. Cole, and I'm here with Natural Police Sarah D. Bunting.
The fuck did I do?
And eminent retiree Tara Ariano.
We call her the Live Forever.
Thank you all for coming, being on time for once for roll call. We're going to go around and check in on some of our cases, our various beats here at the TV police station. And I guess I will brief you all first. I'm here in my capacity as ration cop. Last night, as we record this, the season finale of The Nick aired. And when we started talking about this special, here's where I drop the pretense that I'm a cop. No, it's just me. They just aired an episode where Nurse Elkins had stolen a box of like the last liquid cocaine in New York, apparently, and run out of the German hospital. So she brings it over to Thack, and then he shoots himself up, obviously, because he's a junkie. And then he shoots her up in her vagina, basically. Then they have sex. And I got me to thinking, first of all, why? And then second of all, that's the only box of cocaine in New York. You got to ration that shit. Don't be sharing that with her. She's not a junkie. You got to look after yours. And it made me realize because
he turned a box of cocaine into a cocaine box.
Yes, he did. But the reason that I find it stressful, one of the many reasons that I find it stressful to watch post-apocalyptic stuff, is that the idea of stuff running out is extremely stressful to me. And that's why I find it hard to watch, like, The Walking Dead or Lost, because, you know, there's a finite amount of stuff. You can't just go to the store to buy more. When you're shooting zombies, where are you going to get more bullets, guys? There's only so many that you can reasonably get your hands on. Is anyone else weirded out when people on TV seem to act like they have a bottomless bag of whatever supplies they need? Because usually they don't.
Yes, I am weirded out by that.
Thank you.
I also spend a lot of time thinking about like where and when people are going to poo. So, like,
in the post-apocalypse or in general? In general.
Well, yeah, in general, mm-hmm. actually.
Yep.
I'm pooing right now. Wow. I'm pooing right now. But I do spend a lot of time thinking about that. Like on 24, I would always be like, you know, if he can heave a van on 3 minutes, that, you know, without he doesn't get a newspaper in there, like short commercials. But then something like The Walking Dead in particular, like clearly, you know, Terrence Howard levels of backdoor hygiene are not happening. But I think about that it's like I would go to the like dry pantry first in mm-hmm. any abandoned house mm-hmm. and get the toilet paper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. You're just got like crazy levels of like you run strings through the middle of all the toilet paper rolls you can find, and you're like you got like a Kevlar suit of toilet paper.
Like the Michelin man.
Totally. Yeah, it would just be like the Michelin woman or like Mrs. Stay Puft.
Can we back up a second? You have to explain that reference you just made.
The Michelin Man?
Terrence, whatever.
Oh, Terrence Howard? You don't know about this?
No.
There was a rumor that's, I don't know. I find it pretty credible because he seems like
I don't
like
think
a creep.
It was a rumor. I think he was quoted like in Elle magazine.
Oh my God, you're
places.
Right. There was. It was an interview that he gave where he explained, like, I don't even remember how it came up that they asked him about it, but he insists that ladies that he keeps time with use baby wipes.
Oh,
so okay. that they can keep the area clean to his satisfaction.
Ah, charming.
This from someone who named his daughter Heaven.
Yeah.
Speaking about
Heaven Howard.
Speaking about characters going poo.
Yes, Dave.
We've gotten off the rails so quickly on this episode, and I kind of love it.
So I guess I'm also poo cop in addition to my other.
Oh, we are all poo cop today.
I'm cop.
I remember having a very long conversation with my friend John up in Canada about the poo situation in Star Trek: The Next Generation, which devolved into this whole thing where we figured out that the ultimate Star Trek prank is to teleport, to beam your poo directly out of your system into some front of somebody's door. So when they wake up in the morning, shh, oh, come on, guys, not again. It'd be a whole episode of, like, who's the Starfleet pooper? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
Spoiler alert.
That's how I spent my college days.
It's number two. Number one. I ruined the joke.
No, number two works.
Yeah, but he was called number one.
Number one doing number two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Dave.
Oh, okay. FX Overreach Cop at your service.
Oh, interesting.
FX Overreach Cop reminds you not to be scared of not doing something. I'm looking at you, American Horror Story, often with the heads. Some scenes works very well. Other scenes, I think I can see the heads sort of like moving around independently. They're not anchored to the same bone structure on the body.
Well, to be fair, we've been watching Rough Cuts. Those are not...
Yeah, but
air
still,
versions.
Well,
but yes,
yeah.
But I the most recent one I did watch the air version, and Dirk Berthworthy compared it to, I forget the character's name, but it's Mike Wazowski's girlfriend with all the many snake heads.
Yes,
in Monsters Inc. And he compared the motion to like the way they're always kind of like waving,
undulating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, like, in some instances, the effects works, usually on the close-up shots, but then when they do, oddly enough, I would have thought it'd be the other way around, but the shots where it's wider, where the whole character can be seen, are often the ones that give it away more. I don't know why that is, but maybe, you know, somebody can say, look, the ones that we close up are working, the ones that are far away are not, so let's, you know, change the... You know, the cinematography to match, but whatever. What do I know? Other offenders include The Strain, which the pilot had some of the worst effects in recent memory. It was seriously like that weird middle ground between the death of the Harryhausen era and the rise of the Jurassic Park CG era, where they weren't quite sure exactly what to do when, and they had such a wide mix of things where one was obviously like, you know, a rubber tentacle cover over a pipe cleaner and some guy's just wiggling it out of my mouth, and then other ones where it's just like, you know, in CG where they can never quite match shadows right, so like you got a dark scene but the CG is like a little too, like the shadows are a little too brown, not quite black enough or something like that, you know, like it's sort of a bad green screen effect sort of look. A lot of that in The Strain. I would say about 40 to 50% of the blood effects in The Walking Dead don't work. They're very fake. They're the wrong color. They sort of don't dance around the body like you would expect a squib to do, for instance. Squibs. We know how to use squibs. Squibs work. Use squibs.
That's not FX's fault, but yes, your point is taken. Walking Dead is on AMC.
Yeah, I was wondering, are we talking about FX the channel?
Oh, I thought you meant FX.
Because all the examples you're using are for the channel.
They were at first.
Oh, FX. Special effects. Come on, guys.
That makes more sense now.
Basic jargon understanding cop. We're all guilty.
Because when you said it, I thought you were going to say FX Overrun Cop, which is also a problem that FX the channel has, where none of their shows actually ends in the hour.
To rewind, we're talking about special FX.
Thank you.
And the most egregious sort of recent offender of this is the non-FX show, BBC America's show, Orphan Black, and the Orphan Black... Clone Dance Party, which was just rightly defeated on previously TV's King of Disparate TV Things Mountain.
Terrible
Tony, overreach, man. So bad. And as somebody said, I don't know if it was somebody on the forums or one of us here or one of our writers, which was the greatest Canadian effects company overreach in recent memory. And it's true. It really stressed the bounds of Canadian movie technology to make six people dance in the same room. And it did not work. So FX Overreach Cop says, know your limits, play within it.
Another one from this week as we record this, and a constant one, is Scandal, trying to make us think that we're at whatever LA backlot they're shooting in is DC, with horrible green screenery that's like, oh, they're just sitting in front of the Capitol. Mm-hmm. No, they're not.
Yeah.
Sarah?
I would like to put on my fake product cop hat.
Yes.
The worst offender that I can think of just off the top of my head is Law & Order SVU in a notoriously terrible episode called Avatar, mm-hmm. or Avatarable, mm-hmm. where you have various online properties such as Face Space, yep. and their Second Life equivalent, Another Universe, Y-O-U, Universe. Talk about terrible special effects also. Like, that's some, like, pre-Toy Story, like, Lawnmower Man level Avatar work.
Nice reference.
It looks like the Lego, I don't even know, not even the Lego movie, like the Lego pamphlet. Like, they're so blocky and terrible. Like,
the Lego CG flipbook.
Yeah, like, not to be gross, but aren't people supposed to be, you know, bopping it to these characters? Yeah. Like, they look like they're made from cardboard. Anyway.
The internet's got something for everybody.
The character Chester Lake, who is made from cardboard.
Yeah.
But I don't understand why. I mean, I do understand why they have to make up property names in some cases, but I also don't think it's totally necessary, especially when often in the same thing they're like, oh, it's like Facebook, but it's totally not.
Yeah.
Like, we get it. Facebook didn't pay for a placement. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah,
I really want to interview somebody who handles the right releases and or slash, I mean, I don't know how closely they work with the flip side of it, which is product placement acquisition people. But at some point, like, you know, I wish I knew the divided line between that, where they could go with Facebook but don't, or whether they couldn't go with Facebook and wanted to.
Right.
Because I feel like some directors would be like, I really would like something in the real world, because when we talk about facing pamphlet or whatever, it really takes me out of the story.
Mm-hmm. That actually came up. It comes up this week as we record this. The episode will air tonight of The Chair, the two directors reality show on Stars. That there's a scene where the one character says the word Facebook like three times. And the one producer is like, can we just not say it so many times? And the director thinks it's because they don't have like clearance to say it. But she's like, actually, it's just that it's like redundant. Like, you've said the phrase a bunch of times, and then they get in an argument about it where nothing is really resolved. But it was sort of an interesting issue that he's like, you know, fuck Facebook. Like, we'll cut it out later. And she's like, it's not about Facebook having a problem with it. I think it's badly written. Right. So,
and at what point is something so big and so ingrained as part of our lives, like Facebook is, where it just sort of becomes like a public utility.
Right.
And so, and like, you just can't help but use it, and you sort of just have tacit permission because it is like electricity that flows through your house, a thing
or
that you
like
have.
Kleenex.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Xerox.
Like term creep. There is a linguistic term for this where like Kleenex is used interchangeably, even though the actual term is whatever, facial tissue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My favorite example of that of recent years is how Sharpie came to supplant Magic Marker as the default for fat felt tip pen.
Well, let's be honest about it. What's magic about a magic marker?
I don't know.
Nothing. That's what.
No,
it's the smell.
Name. But
says Sarah high in the corner.
But I know what you mean. I mean, like something like I can see where you would be worried about putting a specific term like that in a movie because you're thinking it might not age well. But like Facebook is not an example of that. People are probably going to still know what Facebook is in 10 years.
Well, and given this particular movie, if I'm Facebook, I'm suing the shit out of everyone involved.
Got it.
Myself.
Know which movie you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Either one.
Yeah.
What? Prank caller.
Sarah, had another one that flows right in from this one, I believe.
These are related beats. Mm-hmm. It's true. Much like wire fraud and mail fraud, I'll go right into Booze Cop.
Okay.
Just ironically, I would like it if they would just make up a name for a beer instead of just ordering a beer, which no one who has ever actually ordered a beer has ever done.
Okay.
Even underage drinkers know to ask for a brand, because otherwise you're busted as being an underage drinker. But every single, I think there has been one show maybe, I think The Good Wife, they had them order like a, I don't know, legal lager or something like that. But generally speaking, they're just like, I'll have a beer or I'll have a lager. Like, nobody does.
Excuse me, barkeep.
Like
I would like a mug of suds, please.
Yeah, sure.
But
that
then,
would be funny.
But then they do have like booze prop names, but they never refer to them by name. So they sort of have this weird wall between them. Like, can't mention the brand name, but have brand names you don't mention.
Yeah, there's a standard fake that I've seen on more than one show. Helsner? Called Heisler.
Heisler, yeah.
It's like the red, it's a red label. It's sort of like vaguely German looking, as the name suggests, and it's, you know, like on a diagonal. And the first time we saw it on New Girl, Dave was like, that's lazy. That's just a font called Heisler, which turned out not to be the case.
No, it was close, but I was mistaken.
But yeah, but again, you can't have them be like, I'll have a Heisler, because no one watching the show knows what that is, because it's not a real thing.
Well, there's a whole bunch.
I will say, once you notice also the effort that they go to shoot around labels and like have someone's hand over the brand. Mm-hmm. Shows have gotten better. Actors have gotten better at convincingly simulating drunkenness. I'd like to give a good citizenship citation to The Good Wife and The Divide. Mm-hmm. But they do a fair bit of drinking on The Good Wife, and you never see any label. And they always, like, either shoot super close to the neck of the bottle, or Juliana Margulies has her hand, like, wrapped in this weird place where actually that's not how people pour wine either. But that's how they have to do it, so they don't have to pay whoever Coppola Wineries or, I mean, it's just grape juice, but anyway.
I guess The Affair must have a very big budget then, because the second episode includes a big outdoor, like, summer party with waitresses that they've hired passing trays of, like, little beer-sized bottles of Moet? How do you pronounce that champagne?
Moet, I guess.
Okay.
That's how Freddie Mercury pronounced it, so that's what we're going with.
I don't drink it. I'm stupid, so that's my excuse. Sorry, everybody. I'm gauche. But then they had, like, I don't know if you've ever seen this, because I couldn't even understand what I was looking at. It had like a funnel in the top of the bottle so that people could drink them like beers. Like they were individual champagne bottles.
I did see that. I was wondering what that was.
It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. But anyway, you could totally see
it. It kind of looked like you could take it off and use it as like an ear horn.
It did. It looks exactly like that. And they're gold. So like, this is obviously something that comes with the case, I assume. Like this is how to have your classy party and not dirty glasses.
It's a world beyond our reach, Tara.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we'll
never know. It's maybe a catering level thing. And
perhaps.
Or a regular civilian.
Or just a Hampton
dipsomaniac
thing.
Dipsomaniacs.
Because
like
that's
myself.
Where they are. Shall we move on?
Sure.
Okay. So it's my first day in the job, and I got this new beat, and I'm a little bit nervous, so I'm going to have to ask for everybody's input and help in order to get my feet.
Sure.
As you know, I've been hired as a cable network slogan cop. And
yes.
I got a
rundown. Thanks
for your
fine work on the USA penis case.
So let's talk about them, shall we? AMC, something more. Something more what? I don't understand.
Yeah,
what?
Lame.
Something more
like
than.
Something bore.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well,
like,
it's usually something more. A movie plus commercials.
How about AMC? We got Mad Men and Walking Dead. You mean, that's good. Guess what the HBO slogan is right now?
It's not TV, it's HBO, is not it?
It hasn't been that for ages.
Okay, I don't know.
It's HBO, period. So original.
Oh, lame.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's very Valley Girl. I don't think that's going to work. FX, yeah, Fearless. That's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that works with their brand.
It does.
USA characters welcome, unless they're comedy characters, in which case, goodbye, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, boo.
TNT. Do you know what TNT is right now?
We Know Drama?
Nope. They changed it. Because now they're doing more action-oriented drama pieces.
Oh, sure.
That's their new thing. TNT Boom.
Oh, no. Oh, that's not real.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
You're going to have to write them up on that one.
Oh, boy.
A little on the nose, TNT.
Mm-hmm.
TBS.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Sure. That's been that for a
while.
For
ages.
And that's fine.
Spike. And we all know this is kind of the, you know,
channel we don't watch.
Exactly.
Sort UFC of, Doodly.
Yes. Yeah. But slogan guesses? Because it really sounds like it could be a slogan or it could be a line from an Up With People presentation.
Okay, so it's not We Got Roofies.
No, it's not We Got... No, no.
I don't know.
Come on, get real.
Oh.
Oh, come on.
Okay, this one's a puzzler. The CW, TV Now.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Except when it isn't.
Right.
Like when on their streaming service or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Food Network, way more than cooking.
Oh, way. That's dumb. That's another Valley Girl one.
Which reminds me of the Canadian Tire slogan from Canada, which is Canadian Tire, more than just tires.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also Lloyd's father in Better Off Dead being like consulting his book and then telling Lloyd to mellow off. Like... Just a little bit behind there, yeah. Pops.
So Showtime has two. Showtime has a primary slogan and a secondary slogan, and I'm not sure Slogan Cop can really get behind having two slogans. I think you really have to pick one and go with it. Mm-hmm. Have the courage of your conviction, Showtime.
Yes.
But they have a primary slogan of brace yourself. Mm-hmm. What?
No.
Speaking of poo okay. cop.
And the secondary slogan is hold on tight.
It's kind of just two the same thing two
it really
ways.
Is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just pick one.
It just seemed like the agency was like really behind one, and then like at the last minute, the president of Showtime's like, yeah, I like this other one. They're like, well, what do? We've already right. printed all the shit up.
Right. Totally.
Stars is taking you places. All right.
Okay. Like all TV does, sure.
Sure. And Siffy wants you to imagine greater.
That's kind of my favorite of all of the ones that you've said so far, I have yeah. to say. It works for me. I've accepted that sci-fi is spelled wrong, so I guess I can accept that.
Yeah. It's also what you have to do while watching much of Syfy's original programming.
Oh, that is so true and so apt. And I think on that note, Slocum Cop's going to go on his first day out in the world. Wish me luck.
Be careful out there.
Good job.
Walk.
Don't take any left-handed notebooks.
Door open.
He should take left-handed notebooks. Since he
yeah, actually, you should. Sorry.
You can. All right, we'll wrap this up with a visit from Sexual Ethics Cop, who was also weighed in on the site as we record this week. It will now be 2 weeks ago by the time you hear this, but About a Boy had its second season premiere. It was one of the shows. I'm not really sure why I'm watching, although in this case it was because we got a screener. And the B plot of the episode revolves around a character having given his wife to understand that he had gotten a vasectomy, then letting his dirtbag friend talk him out of having one, and then not telling her, and now he thinks she's pregnant, and it turns out that she is. This is not a cute sitcom plot. This is sexual violence. This is not okay. It's not okay to do. It really bothered me a lot.
I was actually surprised that you didn't enter all caps like a third of the way through the piece, because I actually read it and then was reading back like, but wait, like that's completely wrong. That's like yes. ethically horrible from yes. like 15 different directions.
Yes. I mean, I get that a vasectomy is like a hilarious thing that sitcoms love to explore because it's about tinkering with dudes' wieners and nothing is funnier than that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, getting your tubes tied, zero oh, yeah. plots, no. tumbleweed.
Well, because no one does it because it's not as safe as getting a vasectomy. But like Brooklyn Nine-Nine also did a vasectomy plot. But in that one, it was like, I'm not so sure about it. They still got to do a whole bunch of jokes about Jake not knowing the difference between a vasectomy and getting castrated. And then at the end of it, Sergeant Terry could just be like, I guess I'll talk to my wife and tell her I'm not sure. Like, yes, that's what you do when you're a grown-up. You don't essentially impregnate your wife against her will and then be like, it's so cute what I did. No, she didn't want to have more kids. This family already has three kids and they live in San Francisco. Like, that's enough. I also don't buy that the dirtbag friend would tell him not to get a vasectomy, because why would dirtbag friend not want him to not have more kids? That's obviously in dirtbag friend's interest, speaking as a dirtbag with no kids. but that's just one example.
Yeah, that was the other thing that it was like, I don't think, you know, as a childless dirtbag myself, I was like, that's not the angle I'd take with it, but
no,
okay.
Go get an extra vasectomy just to be sure. Anyway, this is just one of many recent breaches of sexual ethics on TV, another one being on the Mindy Project and its slipped plotline involving surprise anal sex. Also not cool and kind of hard for the perpetrator to try the it slipped argument, since he is a gynecologist. So presumably he knows what parts are what in the area, I would hope. and then went on to have Mindy so determined to let him have this experience that she got, like, essentially roofied herself, I think. I'm not sure what she was supposed to have taken, but it made her trip out. So I think we can agree, if you have to take a drug to engage in a sexual practice, it's not probably something you really want to do. Then there was also the opium-induced gang rape on American Horror Story, which we also discussed in a recent episode. It's not cool to do, even if you run a freak show. It's not really ethical or nice.
or explicable. Like, what do they need her for?
Right. Yeah, she's already given you the uniform. Like, that made no sense from a plot perspective either.
Yeah, just like drop her off at a church or something. Bye-bye. You got what you needed. I get it.
One of the worst breaches of sexual ethics was perpetrated by Dr. Drew on the recent Teen Mom 2 reunion specials, getting all up in people's business, which I know is partly his job. But like, Adam and Chelsea have not been together for a while. If she tells you it's been a long time since they hooked up, move on. Stop trying to trap her in what you think is a lie. It's none of your fucking business. Like, of all of the couples on this show, which none of them are still together with their original partners, like, those are the ones that are probably, I mean, she at least is doing the best. So like, Dr. Drew needling her and the grace that she handled it with was like shocking on both sides, because it really made me get on Chelsea's side in a way that I never have been before. And so since I've been talking about breaches, I feel like I should also mention some, give out some good citizenship awards, as Sarah put it, to How to Get Away with Murder, which has a honeypot character who's getting everything he wants through sexual espionage by having sex with other dudes. Awesome. It's about time. And Scandal, which had an episode about an illicit sex tape involving the first daughter, and it really skillfully threaded the needle of slut shaming. They didn't make it seem like it was not okay for her to have done that if that's what she wanted. Even her mother, talking to her afterwards, is like, if you tell me that you did this because you were happy and turned on and excited, I think that's great. Like, absolutely. If you want to have a threesome when you're in high school, sure. This was kind of a weird situation, but, you know, if she was consenting and she said that she was, then, you know, other than the fact that it was on film and she's the president's daughter, that part was not great. But the rest of it, I was really impressed that they didn't, like, try to make her seem like, you know, she was a whore. She was just in an unfortunate situation, given the aftermath. So, good job, Scandal. Any other examples anyone else from shows maybe that I don't watch?
No, I don't think so.
Nope.
All right, good roll call. Now I guess we can all go out in the world and start slapping tickets or whatever else on various offenders of television.
Yeah, like toilet paper.
You gotta tell us to be careful out there.
Okay, yeah, be careful out there.